This is the Building Resilience Podcast, episode 196, Living Life by the L's. Live, love, learn, leave a legacy, laugh, and be a source of light. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Building Resilience Podcast. How are you doing? Are you back into the fall routine yet? Back to the school routine? I know for me, even though we don't have kids at home right now, it does feel like it's still back to a fall routine. We're heading into the last quarter of the year, and I always think that this is a great time for me to get refocused on some of the goals that I made earlier in the year. Because what happens to me is I'm all jazzed up, I make some good progress, and the weather gets nicer, vacations hit, I take some time off, and then it's back to routine in the fall. And I'm excited because at the end of this month, I'm opening up the doors again to my Connections membership. So if you want support with growing and moving forward, then you may want to check out my membership. Now, you've probably heard me say over and over and over again, your nervous system is foundational. It is your most valuable resource, is what Dr. Andrew Huberman always says. So it's worth the investment in your own system, in learning about it, how to befriend it, how it can help you reach your goals and make changes in your life, how it can help you improve all your relationships with yourself, with others, with your higher power, how it can help you be a better parent or partner or friend. And it can help you grow your career, growth in your business. It is by far the most important and the best investment you can make. And in the Connections membership, there's so much value. There's an essentials course. There are monthly videos to continue your learning. There are resource calls to help support that learning. But I think what makes Connections really stand out is there's also coaching calls. And there is community where we share, we support, we learn from each other. So it's not a membership with thousands of people where you're just one of many, which I'm not trying to knock those because some of them have great value. But I'm just saying right now in Connections, it's still very up close and personal. So I'd invite you to come and join. I am actually hosting a free class on the 26th of September at 1 p.m. Eastern. Now, I offered this class back in March and it was super successful. Even if you're not interested in the membership, which of course, I'm going to tell you about the membership at the end of the class, but people said the class alone was so worth it. It's called It's Not Your Thoughts, It's Your Nervous System. So I hope you can join me for that. The link to sign up will be in the show notes. The membership doors are only going to be open for a few days after the class until October 1st. So you'll want to mark your calendar so you don't miss out. All right, let's get back on track to today's topic. Now, I've been thinking about my dad a lot recently. As most of you know, if you've listened to the podcast for a little while ago, he passed away about 21 years ago, and he died of prostate cancer. And a few things have come up in my life recently that have brought him a little bit closer to me. And when I think of him, I always end up thinking of his life, what he stood for, what he loved. And then I think of the eulogy that my brother gave at his funeral. It was based off of Stephen Covey's The Four L's: to live, to love, to learn, and to leave a legacy. Great words of wisdom. Stephen Covey, awesome. But even greater, because in my brother's eulogy, he talked about how my dad led his life by these L's as well. I remember at the time thinking, I want to lead my life according to those L's as well. Now, I had just turned 31 when my dad died. I had two young babies and no clue that my life would shortly implode. I would get divorced. I'd be a single mom for a few years. Then I would meet the real love of my life. I'd blend an amazing family with stepchildren. I would leave the safety of my hospital job, go out on my own, only to years later expand my career to include coaching, a podcast, a training, a membership, and some cool things that are coming up, including launching some journals. So stay tuned for those. But all the way through, I have used the four L's as kind of like anchoring points for me, some guideposts for me. And I added to the four L's to make them six L's. And these six L's are part of my personal mission statement. Part of, I hope that when I'm long gone and someone reflects back on how I lived, they will recognize that I lived those six L's. And I want to share this with you because I really want to encourage you to be thinking of your own mission statement. Now, in my programs, I do teach the importance of having a mission statement. How do I define it? Well, it's really a statement that defines what you believe to be your purpose as a human being. Why are you here? What unique talents and perspectives do you have? What would make your life truly worthwhile for yourself and those around you? Now, if you don't know who Stephen Covey was, he was the renowned author of the book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and he had won The Seven Habits of Highly Effective Families, which is a book that I loved. I loved so many things about Covey. He was of the same faith as me, and I remember he came and spoke to our local church congregation when I was about, I guess it was maybe 10 or 12 years old, sometime in the early 80s. And I remember him making such an impression on me. And then down the road, I just really loved his teachings. He actually died tragically, probably about 10 or 12 years ago now, from complications from a head injury, from a bike accident, which of course is always near and dear to my heart, anything involving a traumatic brain injury. Now, he did introduce the concept of the four L's as a guide for living a well-rounded life. And I just decided to use them as part of my mission statement. So his four L's are live, love, learn, leave a legacy. And then I personally added to laugh and be a source of light, because those are two things that are really important to me. So I want to walk you through each one. Now, the first one, to live. I'm first going to ask you to think, stop and pause. What does that mean to you? Think about it for a few seconds. What does it mean to you to fully live? Now, for me, to live means to be engaged fully in life, embracing all the experiences. For me, it really means getting into that arena of life. Now, I'm sure you've heard me talk about this before, but that expression, getting into the arena, is probably made famous by Brené Brown because she talks about it a lot. But it really comes from Theodore Roosevelt, who gave a very famous speech back in 1910. And it is a quote that has profoundly impacted me. I know it profoundly impacted Brené, and that's why she shared it with everybody. But let me just read it for you in case you haven't heard it, or I think it's just amazing to hear it over and over again. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doers of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again because there is no effort without error or shortcoming, but who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows, in the end, the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. So what does it mean to you to get into the arena? For me, it means to show up in my life and to show up imperfectly in my life and to take chances. That to me is living. Showing up knowing that you will fail many times, but I don't want to think of it as a fail, because I think the only fail that actually exists is not showing up. Otherwise, you're either going to win or you're going to learn. To live is to get in the arena, to do some scary things, to show up when it's hard. But I also think it's to set priorities based on your values and purpose. What do you want to invest in? And invest in that. So for me, living means taking the trip, going for the walk, trying that new restaurant. To me, it means being generous with my time and my talents and my assets, my resources. It means prioritizing my health and well-being, investing in my future self while still making sure that my present self gets the attention, the experiences, the fun. So taking time to develop and nurture my passions and my hobbies. It means creating my purpose and spending time serving, growing, dreaming, experiencing, and enjoying it all. And to live also means that there's going to be loss and sadness and grief. Now, my kids always used to play sad songs for me. I think I've shared this before. Whenever we were driving around to their various activities, they were in control of the playlist and they would put songs on to see if I would tear up and get sad. And they knew guaranteed Ed Sheeran's Supermarket Flowers was going to get me to cry. So it's a song about the death of his mom. And there's a line that says, "A life with love is a life that's been lived." And I think when you experience loss, it's because you have experienced love. The full human experience that I've talked about many times before is the feeling of all emotions. We grieve, we feel loss because we know love. And I think that's kind of what it's like to be a parent. Isn't it the most bittersweet thing? You have every range of emotion. It can be absolutely heartbreaking, but I wouldn't give it up. The price of some heartbreaks is so worth the relationships. So to live, to get in the arena, to do things. And that's why you see me doing things that sometimes they're successful and sometimes they're just learns. I love to play around with different activities, different passions, try new things. And I invite you to do the same. Think about what makes you feel alive and go and do that. Get in the arena. Now, sometimes we still have to do, not even sometimes, we always still have to do some routine and mundane things. That's also part of living. But are there things that you're not doing, that you're scared of doing, that you dream of doing? Carve out some time and just start doing them. And if you fail, quote unquote, it's just a win. It's just a learn. It's a different approach to doing things in your life. Now, the next L is love. We have to live and to love. And to love for me means to cultivate really deep and meaningful relationships, to connect with others, to share, to support, to experience things together, to have compassion, to be vulnerable, to be accepting and tolerant and patient, to show kindness, to express gratitude, to love more and to love harder, to turn to love and to ask, what would love do? But I've also learned over the years, love can look very differently to different people. Love can be saying no and setting boundaries and disciplining and doing hard things over easy things. I know many times my kids over the years didn't think that some of the things I was doing or even are doing now, what you would surfacely think love is. And sometimes the things we do are also because of the love that you have for yourself. Now, this is also something that I've been learning more over the years. The boundaries I set, the things I say no to, the things I will not accept, not because I don't love you, but because I love myself. I love you, but I also have my own back. Kind of like what we talked about last week, having compassion and boundaries. They both come from love. And for me, there is also a love for a higher power, a higher purpose, which helps me to love and respect myself and to love others on a deeper level. The love for my God helps me to be able to work more towards loving those around me, especially those who are different than me. It's easy to love those who are just like me, who have the same values and the same beliefs. But how can I love those who I don't agree with? Or how can I love those that I don't even like? Now, I admit this is hard for me. And I'm glad that I have time to keep working on it, to keep expanding the circle that I am capable of loving and reaching people that at this moment right now, I may not feel so capable. So to live and to love. Now, the next L is to learn. And I truly love this one. I am a learner. It is one of my Clifton strengths. If you've ever done that test, I think it's my top one. I love to learn. And then I love to share what I learn. I love to simplify it, make it relevant, add my own twist and share. And that's why I love doing this podcast. I love to share. So I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about the process of learning and the idea of first we watch and listen, then we do, and then we teach. And that's really how I love to learn best. I love to watch and listen, to take in, to absorb, to learn new things. Then I love to go out and do it myself, trial and error, see what's happening, get in the arena. And then I love to teach what I've learned and teach from my experiences. I love creating what I share here on the podcast with you. This is part of the reason why I do the podcast. And I know that I come by this passion for learning, honestly, from my dad, who was a lifelong learner. When he retired, he decided to go back to our local college. Now, I grew up in Montreal, so it's called Cégep in Quebec. And it's kind of like a community college, and they do lots of certificate programs. So he decided he was interested in accounting. So he did an accounting certificate. Not that he was ever planning on using it per se, but it was truly for the love of learning. And it was funny too, because I was at the same college and he took the same course with the same teacher. Now, luckily it was at different times, so we weren't in the same class, but we did have the same assignments and the same tests. So it was fun to have a bit of competition. Now for me, I know I always want to be learning. New skills, new knowledge, new perspectives, formal education, informal education, taking courses, reading, workshop, videos, challenging myself to try something new. I am always enrolled in several things, not because I need to be or think that I want to improve my knowledge, but because I truly enjoy it. It is a passion for me. And I'm happy to say that we are a learning household. A couple of weeks ago, we went for brunch with the parents of my youngest stepson's girlfriend. And they made a comment about how Sam had played a trivia game with them. And they were blown away by his knowledge. Now, I just laughed because it didn't surprise me at all. Rob is one of the smartest people I know. He's like a sponge. He just soaks up everything. And I think all my kids have followed suit. The amount of information and knowledge, and sometimes it is completely useless, that gets passed around our dinner table, especially when all the kids are together, is truly amazing. And it's always been that way. I've always been amazed at what my kids know and wonder, like, how on earth did they learn it? Because let's just say, academics is not everybody's forte, but as I said, there's so many different ways to learn, and my kids know how. And I love seeing that they all seem to place learning and growing and knowledge as a priority. I hope that I will never stop learning. I hope that they will never stop learning. And I encourage you to keep learning for yourself as well. And the last L that Covey talks about was leaving a legacy. And I hope that part of my legacy will be the influence I have on my kids in their desire to learn and also in their desire to get in the arena. I think about the impact that I can have on others in the world, my children, my friends, and the people that I work with, my colleagues, my peers, my clients. How can I take the privilege that I have to do good, to leave everything a little bit better than I found it? How can I make a greater impact and reach and serve more people? How can I contribute? How can I be part of that ripple effect that helps others have a more meaningful life so they can live, love, and learn too? How can I leave my mark long after I'm gone? What kindness and actions and service will I be remembered for? For me, it's also, what am I leaving my future generations? What influence can I have on my family, my future generations, my posterity? So on a personal level, that's what I think about. And then on a larger scale, what does the world look like? What have I created and contributed to make this world a better place? This is part of what I believe is my legacy. Now, Covey stopped with those four L's, and I see why, because they do a really great job of summarizing what I want my life to look like and how I want to lead my life. But I did add two more, which are really important to me. The next one is to laugh. I truly believe that laughter is the best medicine. I love to laugh. I love that my husband loves to laugh, and he makes me laugh and I make him laugh. We spend a lot of time laughing together, and I love that my kids all have amazing senses of humor and they love to laugh too. When everyone is together, there's a lot of laughter. And to me, that's so important. It's healing. It's comforting. Because life can get very heavy and there's a lot of stuff that can be hard. And laughter can help ease pain, help make things more enjoyable. I love to laugh in the moment. And I love that I have so many memories that can make me laugh too. So I always want to be creating new memories to laugh at later. Now I'm 52 and I look at the wrinkles on my face. And what I've noticed is that I have very strong laugh wrinkles. My main wrinkles are from laughing around my eyes and my mouth. And that to me is amazing. Sure, I prefer to have no wrinkles, but since that's not going to happen, I want my wrinkles to be directly correlated with when I laugh and how much I laugh. And when I'm long gone, I want my family, my friends, my clients to remember me laughing and enjoying life because I truly do. Okay, so we have to live, to love, to learn, to leave a legacy, to laugh. And the last one I include in my L's to live by is to be a source of light. The world can be a very dark place. Lots of bad stuff can happen. Lots of people have experienced bad stuff and will continue to experience bad stuff. Lots of trauma, lots of drama, lots of darkness, trials, challenges, obstacles. And sometimes it really can feel very hopeless. And people can feel very hopeless and helpless. Now, in my professional life, I've spent the majority of time working with people who are going through some of the darkest times of their life. And while my role is to help them rehabilitate, to teach, to coach, to guide, I've always thought that one of the most important roles I can offer them is to be a source of light, of hope, and support. That I can sit beside them with compassion so that they know they're not alone. That I can offer them some words of wisdom, some strategies based on science and research and experience, that I can introduce light and hope in their story by sharing other people's stories as well, and that I can believe in them when they do not feel they can believe in themselves. So whenever I think about being a source of light, I think about a lighthouse. And if you think about what a lighthouse is, I actually did a whole episode on lighthouses. I think it was episode 142. So just a quick recap here. A lighthouse stands firm and tall and doesn't move. It stands tall as a warning. It's meant to let you know that you're getting too close. You're getting too close to danger and you need to course correct. And it does not rescue. It's not able to rescue. It's not meant to be a rescue. So it doesn't ever leave. It stays where it is. It's not meant to go out into the waters and chase people down or chase boats down, telling them what to do or not to do. And a lighthouse is also a guiding light. So where are you going? The lighthouse illuminates a path. It gives you direction. Lighthouses are used for that navigation. They're there to just shine. And that is often what I think about how I want to live. I want to be a source of light. I want to be the light that people can see in the darkness. I can shine for them so that they know if they go towards the light, there is safety not far from it. I can help with navigation, but I am also very cognizant that not everyone likes my kind of shine. Not everyone agrees with how I do things or what I stand for or who I want to be or who I am, which is fine because I'm not meant for everyone. But that does not dim my light. I get to shine my kind of shine and will attract those who like my shine. And it's fine with me if others go find a different shine. I believe that those who are meant to be touched by my light will find me. And those whose light is supposed to touch me, I will also find them because I need others to be a source of light for me too. Sometimes I completely need to borrow somebody's light. Sometimes my light is low and I need to draw from others. And I want that to be part of how I live as well. I can give and I can receive. So that is my take on living by the L's. To live, to love, to learn, to leave a legacy, to laugh and be a source of light. I want to encourage you to go through each L, see if it resonates with you. What can you do in each area to raise yourself up? How can you incorporate these principles in your life on a daily basis? What are the other principles that you choose to live by? I would love to know. I'd love to learn more about what is important to you and what are some of your guiding principles. So drop me a line whenever you get a chance, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.